Good evening. I'm Brian Hackney.
I'm Juliette Goodrich. We do begin tonight with a warm-up. It is on the way. Let's take a live look outside across the Bay Area from Oakland to Dublin and the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a nice, clear day, but you can expect temps to rise very soon.
First alert, meteorologist Aaron Peck has been tracking the conditions.
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday's going to feel different. So that's the highlight of the first alert forecast, so you don't get caught off guard by this. We'd be like 20 degrees above average by the time we get to Tuesday. It's already above average out there today. The map shows you yellow and orange, which means we're like 5 to 7 degrees above average. It was in the mid to upper 80s out there for many inland spots today. Look how much more orange shows up on the map by Tuesday. What would average be anyway? For those inland valleys, 79. Already relatively warm today at 88, but look at that arcing line. We're going up to 97 degrees for some of our warmer inland spots. I'll show you what that means for the Bay as a whole coming up in the complete forecast, but there's your early heads up in tonight's first alert forecast. Going to be hot for a couple of days this week. The other thing to keep an eye on, just issued about 3 hours ago, another red flag warning. This one, same place as the one on Friday was, Solano County. It starts tomorrow morning. It goes until Tuesday night. It does include the Quail Fire, which is the one we started tracking here last night about this time. Speaking of which, Brian, I know you've got some updates on that one. I'll be back with the rest of the forecast in a bit.
Okay, thanks, Darren. Fire crews are trying to get the Quail Fire surrounded in Solano County. That fire is burning outside of Vacaville. It's now 75% contained. It started yesterday afternoon, quickly growing to 135 acres and leading to mandatory evacuations. The orders for evacuations have been lifted since. It is burning in the same area as the 2020 lightning fires. CAL FIRE has not officially released a cause, but neighbors told KPIX it was started by a weed whacker. And up in Mendocino County, the Owens Fire near Point Arena is now 80% contained. On Friday night, smoke from that fire blew into the Bay Area, briefly triggering an air quality advisory.
People in San Francisco remembering the life and legacy of Harvey Milk today. The former San Francisco supervisor was the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in the state he was killed in 1978. KPX5's Sean Chitness has more on the message behind today's celebrations.
Harvey Milk would have been 92 years old today. People came here in the Castro to celebrate his life and the many accomplishments he made as a city leader. They say his message is just as relevant today as they continue his fight. A party on the plaza for an LGBTQ icon. Decades after Harvey Milk's death, his birthday is still celebrated by those grateful for all he did when he was alive.
I think it's important to remember our history and the people who participated and really made our history.
Gwen Craig was a friend and worked with Milk on campaigns in San Francisco. She says it's hard to believe some of the same struggles remain for LGBTQ families and youth decades later.
We thought we had defeated these forces, and they're back with the same messages.
The focus this year was on legislation around the country, including laws restricting how gender identity and sexuality are taught in the classroom.
So important for us to, again, remember the words of Harvey Milk, hope will never be silent.
Organizers of the event to celebrate Harvey Milk Day say they want to acknowledge the progress made while raising awareness for current issues threatening LGBTQ rights.
Every era has its challenges. You know, back then it was really about visibility.
Others at the event who are part of the Castro neighborhood say the fight has shifted, no longer just about representation, but more about achieving equity for all members of the community.
The whole concept behind democracy and the Constitution is to protect the rights of the minority, not the majority.
Discouraged but not defeated, living up to the legacy of Harvey Milk all these years later.
In solidarity, I think there's strength. I think when we come together, then we can feel the unity that makes us feel hopeful.
Reporting in San Francisco, Sean Chitness, KPIX 5.
New at 6, Oakland police have released new body cam footage of a police shootout that unfolded back in September. An officer and the suspect both shot. Now, it happened on September 22nd along Telegraph Avenue. Someone called 911 and told a dispatcher that a man was screaming in front of a hotel and pulled out a gun. Police say when their patrol car pulled up, 50-year-old Jeffrey Carter fired at two officers who returned fire.
Get him out of the pocket! Hey! Get down! Let me see your hands! Shots fired. Shots fired. Subject shot at subject. I'm hit. I'm hit as well.
One of the officers was shot in the leg. Carter started running away after he was shot. He has since been, the Oakland body cam video was released in September. Police say at one point Carter pulled out a knife and they fired beanbag rounds. He went into an apartment building but then surrendered after 30 minutes. Now, he was hospitalized and charged with attempting to murder a peace officer. The officer has recovered from his injuries.
People living near San Jose's Japantown won't hear that quite as much in the wee small hours, all thanks to a new partial quiet zone at 14 intersections. KPXX5's Wilson Walker has the story.
I grew up here, so I've gotten used to it. That's why I didn't pay attention to it too much anymore until we got a dog.
For everyone living close to, or in some cases right up against, these tracks, the last few years have brought nights punctuated by this. But relief has finally arrived, at least between the hours of 10 and 7.
He howls every time the train comes, so that has been a lot nicer, and we definitely get better sleep.
I think it's particularly important as we see a lot more housing coming into this area, right?
Those horn blasts are required by federal safety guidelines, so getting this so-called partial quiet zone really did take help from Congress.
It's not an easy process. It's a lot of coordination with many entities, local, state, county, federal.
Losing the horns at night did require making other safety changes to about a dozen intersections. And what you see here is just the temporary work.
We're also working with them on a permanent build-out of this that changes where all the signaling infrastructure goes, those ramps, those flashers, et cetera, so that this intersection is restored to more full functionality, better pedestrian experience, et cetera.
I didn't hear about it. I just seen that they put up the signs.
For those who did not hear the changes coming, it has been a pleasant surprise.
At first, it seemed odd to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But it, in a good way, yeah.
In San Jose, Wilson Walker, KPIX 5.
In the middle of a nationwide battle over abortion rights, we're seeing a big response to the San Francisco Archbishop denying communion to Nancy Pelosi over her own views.
And John Ramos went to Sunday Mass in San Francisco, where he found local Catholics divided on the issue.
It's not like Nancy Pelosi's views on abortion are unknown to the Archbishop, so the fact that he's released this directive now just shows how heated the abortion debate is getting. With tensions running higher than ever on the issue of abortion, the war of words between Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has reached a new phase.
I have a disagreement about who should decide this. I believe that God has given us a free will to honor our responsibilities.
But more recently, with her advocacy for codifying the Roe decision in federal law, it's becoming more and more extreme and more aggressive. And I've been trying to speak with her about this.
But it looks like the discussion is over. On Friday, Archbishop Cordiglione sent Pelosi a letter saying, quote, "You are not to present yourself for Holy Communion, and should you do so, you are not to be admitted to Holy Communion until such time as you publicly repudiate your advocacy for the legitimacy of abortion and confess and receive absolution of this grave sin in the sacrament of penance." Many of those attending Mass in San Francisco this morning were aware of the controversy. Marco Hernandez says he wasn't shocked by it.
Being a Catholic, and I know that the church is against abortion, so no, I was not surprised at all that they tried to stop her from taking communion.
But like many, Jean-Marie Breckenridge seemed uncomfortable that Pelosi was singled out in a community full of people with strong abortion rights beliefs.
It's Nancy Pelosi's position, and it's also a political thing. She's sought out because of who she is.
But do you think that's fair?
Not entirely, no.
But Carmel Richard, with a group called Pro-Life SF, supports Cordiglione's decision.
I view him, he's similar to a father. That's what our bishop is. And this is a case where tough love is needed.
She thinks it was Pelosi who forced the Archbishop's hand by criticizing the church in her discussion of the issue.
And really dragging her faith into the discussion by saying, you know, as a Catholic, I believe this, and as a Catholic, I firmly support this. And this kind of thing is precisely the cause of the scandal.
Didn't Judas have communion at the Last Supper? I think if Judas could get communion, I'm pretty sure Nancy can get communion.
The separation between church and state has become razor thin, so it probably shouldn't be too surprising that some are feeling pain over it. In San Francisco, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
Well, have a look at this. New at 6, wild new video to the newsroom of a rodeo bull leaping into a crowd at a rodeo up in Redding. Local outlets are reporting the bull struck 6 people and sent one into the hospital. It happened during the end of the bull ride when the bull bucked the rider off and then, not content with that, continued to buck around. Then the animal jumped into the crowd. It injured several people. Redding police say the bull was finally wrangled almost a half mile away from the rodeo grounds. Rodeo up in Redding released a statement saying, "We wish the best to all of those affected. The safety of our fans is our highest priority, and we appreciate their support."
Wow. All right, well, back here in the Bay Area, UC Berkeley's campus is being used as a set for an upcoming movie, Christopher Nolan movie. And here's a look at this set on campus from Friday. From vintage cars, they are parked along Campanile Way. The film is called Oppenheimer, and it is based on the life of physicist Robert Oppenheimer. He taught at Berkeley from 1929 to 1943 and later helped develop the atomic bomb as part of the Manhattan Project. The film stars Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, and Matt Damon. Also happening tomorrow, masks are making a comeback at Berkeley Public Schools. Students will be required to wear masks indoors through the end of the school year. The superintendent says Berkeley schools are seeing a significant increase in COVID cases. So masks will be required at all indoor school events, including graduation ceremonies.
Santa Clara County law enforcement held a gun buyback in Milpitas today. People showed up to return unwanted firearms and return cash in return. Organizers say it could help prevent accidents and reduce gun violence in the community. The buyback event was anonymous.
The only question we ask folks are, where are the firearms and how many do you have? We're not asking people's names, identity, date of birth, immigration status, none of that.
Organizers recovered more than 400 firearms and spent more than $40,000 on the buyback, Jules.
Well, Oakland police, they're working to identify a body that was found in a burning car on Friday night. Firefighters responded to a car engulfed in flames on High Street. They knocked it down and then they found a body inside. Police are investigating.
And Santa Rosa police also investigating, in this case, the city's 6th homicide of the year, a shooting that happened early this morning. It happened at about 1:30 on Kenton Court. Officers found one gunshot victim in a car, a 28-year-old man who was pronounced dead at the scene. Witnesses say an unknown car approached the victim, and after a verbal altercation, somebody opened fire.
Well, an online grocery is on a mission to eliminate food waste. Imperfect Foods hosted its first ever Food Waste Week in San Francisco, and the pop-up was at Sparks Social. It's in the Mission in Bay Area. The event educates consumers on food waste and teaches them how to reduce food waste at home. A panel was held focusing on the environmental impact of food waste today. Organizers tell us one food waste tip you can do at home.
Don't just use the like tops of the broccoli, use the stems, use your potato peels, and really sharing that they can have an impact with those small steps.
Along with teaching about food waste, Imperfect Foods also had another goal, obviously, saving money and helping save produce as well.
Well, on the heels of a record-setting year, the Port of Oakland is reporting a decline in ship volume, the amount of stuff coming into the port. They're blaming it on COVID crackdowns in China. Imports declined 17% in April compared to last year, while exports dropped 18% in the same period. China is Oakland's largest trade partner, but COVID crackdowns are forcing factory and port shutdowns. The port is also seeing fewer ships stop in Oakland, and importers are slow to retrieve shipments.
Well, California is set to have its first new state park in over a decade. The 2,500-acre property is planned for Dos Rios Ranch. Now, it's located just 20 minutes outside of Modesto. The park will be where the San Joaquin and Tuolumne Rivers meet. It is expected to open next year. Meantime, there is a push to repair California parks. The state has more than a $1 billion backlog of delayed park maintenance projects. Now, park advocates are asking the governor and lawmakers to start writing checks. They say parks grew in popularity during the pandemic and must be continued to be cared for.
We want to make sure that, you know, bathrooms are clean and that parking lots are maintained, that roads are maintained in parks so that people can visit safely.
State park officials say some necessary repairs are actually simple, such as repairing broken bathrooms, whereas others are much more expensive, like replacing roofs and repaving bike trails.
An Oakland artist just unrolled a big canvas in Oroville, billboards showing California in decline. Reporter Marley Ginter has that story.
If a daily drive doesn't take you by some of the harsh realities of everyday life, then these billboards will, highlighting California's homeless crisis, devastating wildfires, and drought.
A reminder to folks that that's what's happening in real life, and we got to open our eyes to what's really going on.
Do you think these are just ugly to have up around Oroville?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that, you know, they show good awareness. They show people what, you know, we have to look for here and around the area.
What are you hoping will come of it?
My hope for these billboards is that just people will look, you know, look at what's happening, you know, because we ignore it all the time.
I talked with the artist behind the images, Thomas Browning of Oakland. He says it's not a political ploy. He's not representing an organization. He's just out to make people think.
I'm just a dude, you know, with four kids. I felt like I had to do something. And I feel like this is, you know, this is one thing I can do. One thing I know how to do is take pictures.
What some would ask after they see your pictures, do you like California?
I don't want to live in it. You know, I've lived all over the world as a kid. I don't want to live anywhere else.
But you're highlighting such ugly parts of it.
But it's because it's true, right?
Browning says the need for change is obvious, but the first step is awareness.
I think we're really facing a catastrophe in all these three areas I'm looking at. You know, you're in Sacramento, I'm in Oakland, and we breathe the same air. It's not like this is happening, you know, up in Oroville only, or this is happening in Los Angeles only. You know, it's happening everywhere.
Marley Ginter reporting there. Oroville is just the beginning. The billboards are expected to move to Oakland in mid-June and then to Southern California later this summer.
One of San Francisco's most famous homes is hitting the market again. The owner of the Pink Painted Lady is listing the home for the same price she bought it for in January 2020, $3.6 million. She intended to renovate it, but rising costs and delays threw a little wrench in her plans. Now, the sale comes with building plans, permits, even social media accounts.
And lots of trucks taking over a Larkspur High School parking lot for a fundraiser. The Larkspur Library hosted its first ever event called Touch Trucks. Families were able to get up and close and personal and look at a wide variety of work vehicles like a fire truck, an ambulance, and an excavator. Proceeds from the fundraiser today will go toward building a new library.
Mountain lion cub rescued in San Mateo County is continuing her recovery this evening. Vets at the Oakland Zoo say Rose is doing well and is becoming more comfortable with human interaction. Hey, she's also gaining some weight in a steady, healthy way. The orphan cub was rescued by hikers in San Mateo County last month. She was taken to the Oakland Zoo to get help from vets. All right, thanks so much for watching. 60 Minutes is up next.
We will see you back here at 11. Until then, the news continues on KPIX.com. Have a great Sunday evening.